Let's bow our heads in prayer as we stand. Our Father, we thank you for the reality that you have been and continue to gather a people together called by your word of promise. Help us tonight, we pray, to grow together as that people, united in purpose and knit together in love. As we hear your word, grant us the grace to repent and the joy of salvation. And we ask that you would carry on your great plan to call a people from all nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reading is on page 1058, Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Page 1058, Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Sam, thank you for reading. And can I add my welcome to James, particularly to Sam's friends and family who are here. It's really good to see you here. I wonder if everyone could keep open page 1058 and look down at verse 10, which is a very, very important verse. If you like, we're going to explain what Sam has been talking about, what he has said is true in his life. We're going to explain, maybe more importantly, what Jesus is all about, what Jesus thinks he came to do. Let me read verse 10. "The Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came to seek and to save the lost." This is what Jesus came to do. Any number of Christians are confused about that. Jesus says this is his whole life purpose. And the story we've just had, the story of Zacchaeus, is an illustration of Jesus' mission in life. We've got 2 points this evening. They're both on the handout that you were given. Point one is all about seek, and point two is all about save. Jesus came to seek and save. We're going to see them illustrated in Zacchaeus. They're both massively misunderstood by Christian people in churches. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and the lost is Zacchaeus. That's what he's doing in the story. No surprises about that. We meet him in verse 2. Jesus is nearly at the end of his journey to Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho, so he's only 15 miles away. And you'd think he would be too busy for people like Zacchaeus. In Jericho is a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we met a rich man who was studiously, carefully moral and good. And Jesus sent him away, saying how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Well, Zacchaeus is as rich, but nowhere near as moral. In verse 7, we learn he is famous in this town as a sinner. So it is a surprise, I think, when Luke introduces him as somebody who's seeking for Jesus. That's the big issue for our point one, Jesus and seeking. Who is seeking who? Point one. Well, verse 3 has an answer. Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. this sinful man who maybe had never shown any interest in God up till now, when he hears Jesus is coming through town, he really wants to see him. And not just see him, but he wants to know who Jesus is. And he has at least one, maybe two problems with that. Problem number one is that he is small of stature. Verse 3. See, Jesus is a very big deal and crowds of thousands line up to see him. And there are lots of advantages to being one of life's small people. But seeing celebrities in crowds, that is not one of them. So you have the impression of little Zacchaeus jumping up and down at the back of the crowd, trying to get a view of Jesus. He's stuck behind the crowd of 6 foot Jerichoans, or whatever you call them, in all their big hats, and he cannot see. But it may be that Luke thinks there is a second problem as well. Verse 3, it is on account of the crowd he could not, as well as because he was small. It may be there's something deliberate about it, that the crowd just won't let him through to the front. They hate him. They assume that God hates him. So why would he want to go and see Jesus anyway? And Zacchaeus has a choice at that point, doesn't he? He is a rich and important man, and he should just turn around and melt into the back of the crowd and go home for a drink. But instead, verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Zacchaeus, he's a kind of super fan, isn't he? It's kind of teenage behavior with a boy band. I used to lead a Christianity Explored group here in St. Helens. We used to meet about down there. And I used to lead it with a grown woman named Kerrion, who was a Take That super fan. Age 25, still queuing at airports to catch a glimpse of Howard or Gary. If conversation ever flagged, you know, on the first week when everyone was new, I'd just say, no, Kerrion, tell us again, how did you end up pen pals with Howard's dad? She never quite made it with the band, but Howard's dad, she was friends with. Zacchaeus is like that, kind of sprinting ahead, climbing the tree. But again, remember who he is in this town. He's a corrupt official that everybody else has to pay off to get by. He's the one with the big car, the bling, and the security. And now the bling is bouncing up and down because he's running round the crowd. The adult chief tax collector, rich man thing to do would have been to walk home. But Jesus is about to pass by, and the chance is nearly gone. So Zacchaeus runs, and equally shamefully, he climbs a tree. That's kind of a five-year-old boy thing to do, because he wants to see Jesus. Jesus and seeking. Looks like the answer to our point one is going to be fairly easy. Who's seeking who? Who's doing the seeking? Well, that'll be the one running through the crowd in a hot country and climbing trees. Except Luke presents it differently. See, Zacchaeus thinks he is looking at Jesus. Zacchaeus thinks that is going to be the biggest thing that's going to happen today, is a glimpse of the top of Jesus' head. But it turns out that Jesus was looking for him. We said, Jesus, he's on his way to Jerusalem. That is for the end of the old age of world history. It's a big moment, 15 miles out. He's being gawped at by a crowd of thousands. You'd think Jesus would be busy. But really, Jesus is here to seek the lost. Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He's here on this street to find Zacchaeus. So verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he didn't walk past. He stopped and he looked up. I don't know if Zacchaeus sort of nearly fell out of the tree at that point. I don't know how good his grip was. He looked at him and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Of all the people in Jericho, good people, bad people, Jesus stops at this tree, looked at this man, said his name, and said, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. which in Luke it is not Jesus sort of cadging a free bed and breakfast from the guy with the biggest house in town. Stay in your house means be your friend. And Zacchaeus comes down and received him joyfully. He knows what's being offered there. And the crowd knows as well. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all grumbled because they understand Jesus has selected this one man out of thousands to be his friend in Jericho. Elsewhere in Luke, the disciples are sent from town to town to look for anybody who will receive them into their house. Or when Martha, kind of one of the best disciples in Luke, welcomes Jesus into her home, that's a sign she is a close disciple, one of the core team in the kingdom of God. Verse 10, it is Jesus' whole life purpose, and Zacchaeus is the illustration. So who's seeking who? Well, despite what it looked like, this is Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. The true king of Israel, on his way to his capital city, has come through Jericho deliberately. He knows Zacchaeus' name and has come to find him. Now, we don't use seek and save outside of religious context now, but we use search and rescue. That's the same words, isn't it? It's the same meaning. Meaning is identical. Jesus came to earth as a one-man search and rescue team. Do you know where the busiest lifeboat station in the UK is? Do you know? It is London. Miles from the sea, about 3 miles from here, that is the busiest lifeboat station in the UK. 3 times this Friday, they had to launch to pull people out of the Thames and save their lives. They launched at 15:28, so it was pretty cold, wasn't it, if you remember, by 3:30 on Friday afternoon. They launched again at 21:15. It was dark and very cold, wasn't it, by 21:15. You'd want a cup of tea after rescuing someone on Friday night, wouldn't you? But actually, they launched again at 21:45 for the third time that day. Search and rescue in difficult conditions with someone's life at stake. I did jury service a few years ago because of one they didn't find. Strong currents, no light, murky water, and a dead body it took 3 days to find. And those people, I don't know if you ever think of them as you walk down the Thames, those people who crew the lifeboats and risk their lives to save others, I think we think of them as heroes, don't we? Well, Jesus says he is in the same business. That's his business, search and rescue. Most people think that it is down to us to find God, that God is lost or God is hiding, and we have to do the religious equivalent of elbowing our way to the front of the crowd. We have to seek him out, have to prove that we are super fans, track him down to wherever he's hiding, and climb a tree, you know, if you think that'll do any good. But Luke wants us to know that that is back to front. God isn't the one who is lost. That is us, human beings. The person going to any length is Jesus, the King of the universe, left heaven for us, for this. Not to face a dark, cold river at night, but to come into this world to risk and to lose his life. Last week we looked at 18 verse 31, which explains that Jesus is going to Jerusalem to do a job, to accomplish everything the prophets wrote about, which means his arrest and his mockery, be shamefully treated, spat upon, flogged, and killed, in order to seek for people like Zacchaeus, people that the whole town have written off as a sinner. He says, come down, I must stay in your house today. Which makes Zacchaeus a very, very important illustration for anybody who has assumed that they're not the kind of people Jesus is interested in. Maybe who have looked at the kind of things other people do to try and impress God and get his attention and decided there is no way of you elbowing your way to the front of that crowd. Well, no, that is the wrong way round. Jesus is a search and rescue specialist. And he came to seek for lost people, people like Zacchaeus. Okay, well, that's point one. If verses 3 to 6, they work on seek, well, then point two, verses 7 to 9, work on save. What does it mean Jesus came to seek and to save the lost? And so point two, the question is sinner or son? Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus joyfully, verse 6, but nobody else is happy. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a sinner. And I think that that grumble has been our problem with Jesus for the last few weeks. The last time we met a tax collector, the tax collector described himself as a sinner. But then Jesus went on to say, I tell you that this man, this sinner, went home justified. It's the sinner who is justified. That's the language that Sam used, that Jesus had made him perfect. It's him, not the careful moralist. The careful moralist is sent away unjustified. And we began asking, how is this fair? How can God let in the bad people and turn away the good people? What kind of kingdom is this, Jesus, if it's full of sinners? Jesus, do you not know who you're having dinner with? The challenge to Jesus' identity is really obvious in their complaints. Back in Luke chapter 7, one Pharisee said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is. For she is a sinner. Luke loves through his gospel to drop in people that you just don't think Jesus will have any time for. People that a holy man, a prophet, should push away in disgust. Jesus cannot be very spiritually perceptive if you choose Zacchaeus out of this whole town as the person to have dinner with. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Except that he hasn't. That's not true. He hasn't. Put together the events that Luke builds up around us and the response of Zacchaeus in verse 8 and Jesus' interpretation in verse 9 and verse 10, and you get a very, very clear sequence of events. Zacchaeus, he climbed up his tree a sinner. There's no doubt about that. It's very clear in his job description, chief tax collector. It's clear in the way the town reacts. It's clear in what he says in verse 8. Part of what he says in verse 8 is, if I have defrauded anyone. And it sounds like he knows that this is the number one accusation against him in the town. Sounds like he's expecting a bit of a cue when he offers to pay back what he's stolen. We might need to issue tickets and arrange this in order. Zacchaeus went up the tree a sinner. He is not somebody that Jesus should allow into his kingdom. But the previous tax collector, who we met in 18, verse 13, did the only thing necessary to enter the kingdom. He asks God for mercy. He knows he's got nothing to offer God, so he asks for mercy. That's what the blind man last week repeats twice. Son of David, have mercy. Mercy on me. And Jesus said to him, your faith has saved you. And Jesus takes Zacchaeus the same way. Here is, in this tree, is a sinner who wants to be saved. And in verse 9, Jesus tells us all we need to know about him now. Today, salvation has come to this house. That's what's happened to him. He's been saved. And now instead of a sinner, he is a son of Abraham. This is not a sinner anymore. He went up the tree a sinner. He came down as a son of Abraham, a member of Jesus' kingdom. He's not excluded. He is one of God's people. How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, Jesus came to seek and save. Just seeking is no good to anybody. 8,462 lifeboat launches last year. That would be no good if they kind of went out, found each one. Oh, look, there you are. Bye. And left them, came home. Search and rescue. That's the point. In fact, I discovered this summer, they even give you a lift back to your car, the lifeboat people, once they picked you out of the sea. The crowd just has no idea the difference that Jesus has made. They see Jesus having dinner with an unchanged person, somebody, a sinner, who God could not possibly tolerate or be friends with. Jesus thinks he's having dinner with an ex-sinner because he's been saved. That's what Jesus has done. That's what it means to be saved or rescued by Jesus. It means that you go from being a sinner to being an ex-sinner to being a son. And we did the detailed work on that last week, and Sam has given us a handy recap of it, I think, tonight. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to lose his life. This takes us well beyond the parallel to kind of lifeboat search and rescue. Lifeboats enter the dark, dangerous water to pull people out. But they normally remove the casualty. They don't normally remove the storm. And we said in 1831 last week, Jesus' job, his death, is to do the work laid out for him in the prophets. And we went to one prophet in particular, one place above all, because that is the place Jesus quotes just before he is arrested. He says, "I'm about to be numbered with the sinners," from Isaiah 53, if you want to write it down and look it up. Describes Jesus as being the one who bore the sin of many. He carried the sin of other people. The Lord laid onto him the sin of us all. So Zacchaeus, if you want, he goes up the tree carrying all of his own sin, carrying it on himself. That is the storm, the judgment of God due to those who deserve God's anger and judgment. Sam talked about realizing that God was angry with him, that there was a punishment due for his sin. I think anybody with an ounce of realism will see that carrying your own deeds and actions is a problem. The rich ruler 2 weeks ago, he couldn't see that, thought that external decency was enough. That is not true. If you carry your own sin, you are in the storm of God's anger. But Zacchaeus didn't come down the tree carrying his own sin. Jesus has saved him, has had mercy on him, has done for him what is impossible for human beings to do for themselves. Sam said that God loved him, he realized, and sent his son to die for him, to take away the punishment for our sins, to make me perfect, so I could be in relationship with him. I promise you I didn't pay Sam to say any of that. Jesus is bearing Zacchaeus' sin, Sam's sin. Jesus' death removes the storm. Zacchaeus stays where he is. Jesus steps in, says, "I will have God's anger instead. God can punish me instead." So the guilt is gone and rescue is certain. Zacchaeus is an ex-sinner. Search and rescue is what has happened. Again, you sometimes meet a Christian who thinks that the Bible or church or something has increased their guilt. Shouldn't be that way at all, unless you are a kind of fake ex-realist, someone who can't see what's real. You think there's nothing wrong with you. Well, Jesus needs to show you what's wrong with you so he can take it from you, change you from being a sinner into being a son. And verse 8 is the overwhelming evidence that this has really happened. It's the evidence that Zacchaeus is a totally different man now. Verse 8, verse 9, they are a conversation between two people only, actually. Did you notice that? The crowd ask a question, verse 7. And Zacchaeus says something to the Lord, and Jesus says something to him. They're answering the crowd, but all that matters is these two individuals talking to each other, Zacchaeus and Jesus, Zacchaeus and his Lord. And that's the term for this in Sam's baptism vows was the one about repentance. We normally think repentance is just about changes of behavior. You know, Zacchaeus, will you stop with the stealing? And will you start helping old ladies across the road or whatever we think it should be? But the big change for Zacchaeus is about relationship. Jesus is now in his house. He has received him in with all that that means. And Jesus is now his Lord. Verse 8, he says, "Behold, Lord." He's now a son of Abraham and part of Jesus' kingdom. So verse 8 is not Zacchaeus pulling his socks up. It's not Zacchaeus trying a bit harder. Jesus hasn't kind of given him an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Verse 8 would have been impossible for Zacchaeus that morning. He is now a different person. I'm told that at the time, 20% to charity was thought to be a dangerously high percentage. And more than that was kind of unwise. Well, Zacchaeus goes straight in with half. And I'm told again that 20% extra was thought to be the right kind of fine for a fraud. You pay back what you owed plus 20%. And Zacchaeus goes straight in with four times whatever he had taken. I reckon Jesus was probably the last person to stay in that big fancy house in Jericho, don't you? Zacchaeus gives away 50% of everything and four times any fraud. This is a man whose business is fraud. There is not going to be much money left. It's not that he is buying a place in the kingdom. It's that he is a totally different person from the moment he climbs down the tree. And this is the fruit of his new relationship with Jesus. And the crowd who are grumbling, they just show they want no part of the kingdom that Jesus is building. I need you, please, turn back to 17, verse 20. Turn back to 17, verse 20, which has been our big question all the way through this section of Luke's gospel. The big question, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. When is the kingdom coming? And you can see that they expect signs to be observed, something to say, look, here it is, or look, there it is. They're expecting, I guess, stars moving around or comets doing something funny or political upheaval or huge signs they can point to. Jesus' answer, well, no, it's not coming with signs to be observed because, end of verse 21, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Seven or eight times in our 10 verses today, there are verbs about seeing. As well as seeking and saving, we're interested in who can see, who can really see what's going on. We had blind disciples and a blind man who gets to see last week. Well, there won't be any kind of huge visible signs to see of Jesus' kingdom. In fact, the only thing they're going to see is a bleeding man on a cross dying. It's not what they expect a kingdom to look like at all. But lost sinners like Zacchaeus, if Jesus looks for them and rescues them, if they ask for mercy, they are saved and become sons. And you'll see, if you can see it, insane changes, like a cheating tax collector who puts right everything that he's ever done wrong and starts giving money to the poor. Can you see this kind of kingdom? That's the question, I think, for the crowd this week. Here's an example. The kingdom's in the midst of you, not someone you were expecting. It's Zacchaeus. Look, there's the kingdom. Can you see it? Next week, our question is going to be, do you want it? Do you want to make the kingdom grow? Do you want to help add people to this kingdom? But tonight, I just want to finish with a question. And the question is, do you want to join it? Do you want to join this kingdom? If we were to put together the four or five people we've met over the last 4 weeks, there is a clear invitation here from Jesus to people who would like to join his kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is still in the midst of you. Maybe there are friends of Sam's here who didn't really realize what he thought was going on when he became a Christian. Didn't realize it was about joining a kingdom. Getting a new Lord, being rescued from sin. Well, Jesus is seeking for lost people to save. He's seeking to carry sins and would lift them off you tonight if you asked him to. You could have come in here a sinner like Zacchaeus, well known for it, everybody knows it, or could have come in here as a sort of well covered up sinner like the rich ruler 2 weeks ago. Either way, you could come in here this evening a sinner,
but leave here tonight a son, an ex-sinner, with your sins taken away. Your presence here tonight could be how Jesus is seeking for you. And all that's necessary is not some huge seeking after God, is not some preparatory polishing yourself up. All that's necessary is asking for mercy. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. We're going to all bow our heads if we would, but it really will be for those who want to join this kingdom. I'm going to use the words of the blind man from last week and some words from Zacchaeus this week. You could pray it along with me now, silently, I suggest, if you want to, or you could remember where we are in Luke's gospel and look out these words and pray it later when ready. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads while I pray a prayer for people who want to join this kingdom to join in with. Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus to seek and save the lost. I admit I am a lost sinner, and I ask you to have mercy on me. I want now to live with Jesus as my Lord and to live with him as my King. Amen. And just look up there for a second. The people in the crowd didn't believe that something as simple as that could make any difference. Jesus believed something like asking for mercy transforms a person totally. Jesus' promise to you, as to Zacchaeus, is that he chooses to make his home with you from now on. That kind of relationship. And I'd suggest you tell somebody that you've done that. Tell me if you'd like to, or someone that you know. And I suggest you come back next week to find out how to work for Jesus' kingdom, to spread that kingdom to others. So the kingdom of Jesus, who seeks who? It is Jesus seeking the lost. It is full of sinners who've been turned into sons. And even though it may not be much to look at as kingdoms go, if you can see it, you can see the wonder and you can live for him. Let me lead all of us in prayer as we close. Dear Father God, praise you so much for the work of Jesus, that you sent your Son into this world to find lost people, to rescue them, to take away their sin, and to make them your people, that you are happy to be at home with, friends with, in relationship with. We praise you for that rescue, and we ask, Father, that we would see it, marvel at it, and be wonderfully pleased and grateful to be part of that kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.